I may be influenced in part by my vacation still, but part of me said, oh, time for scripture and sermon. I'm at a loss for words. It's okay. Anyway, our first scripture reading for the day comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, and I'm sure you'll recognize it. He writes, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today comes from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. And it's one you're probably more familiar with hearing during the Easter seasons in churches. We read, but Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know how any of you specifically reacted earlier this summer or spring, but I was awed by the pictures released that have been taken by the new Webb telescope up in space. The magnificence of those photos, the colors, everything about it made me appreciate the awesomeness of our Creator and creating God. And as Paul wrote in the first chapter of Romans, ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things he made. The created world around us in effect, gives us fingerprints of our Creator, glimpses into the divine will and purpose that God put into creation. So I decided to spend some of my summer Sundays looking at some of the fingerprints of God we can see in the world around us. For the first 2 weeks I'm doing this, the lessons will be drawn from things about our human body and that add to our understanding about the body of Christ. And today I want us to think about skin, because our skin is a window to who we are in many ways. It certainly gives us part of our appearance and makes us look a lot better than we would if it wasn't covering all that gooey stuff on the inside. And we take care of skin, or at least we're told to pamper it, you know, add color to it, exfoliate, unwrinkle, stretch it to varying degrees, Botox it, hyaluronic acid it, whatever that does. And our skin can also reveal a lot about our habits and work. Calluses on my feet testified to how much time I spent barefoot as a child. The colors of our skin can reveal something about our health. Do you look healthy? Are you pale? Is there actually maybe a grayish cast to your features? And emotions can be seen through our skin. We go pale from shock, and at other times, we blush. Mark Twain commented, "Humans are the only animals that blush and are probably the only ones that need to." Skin lets people see who we are to an extent as they look upon us. Emotions can be detected when seen in how people react, as the skin may flush with anger, grow pale with shock. And emotions can unfortunately also get seen in the way some people react to the different skin colors of people around them, be it easy welcome or hateful prejudice. I did a little more reading about skin. Did you know that skin was the largest organ in the human body by surface area? It's a skillfully designed membrane for relating through touch and being touched in return. Skin is sensitive to pressure, registering both painful and pleasurable touches, and our heart and intent towards other people is often communicated by touch. Having said all this and exhausting some of my medical knowledge, let's see how this applies to the body of Christ. Because in effect, for us as individual Christians, the Spirit of Christ is our membrane, our skin, as part of the body of Christ. And we are to therefore display Him to a waiting world. I said the texture of our skin reveals much about our life. And so too it is with the body of Christ. The texture of our faith skin is described well in Galatians: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That is what people are to see and feel when we act as Christians. How we touch others is determined by our texture, and as Christians, we are to take pains to touch with the texture described as the fruits of the Spirit. Another thing about skin is that human skin is a source of ceaseless information about the world around us. The skin surface has 500,000 receptors to tell the body about warmth, wetness, pressure, coolness, texture of things around us. Touch is necessary to know what is going on around us. And so too, the body of Christ needs to be sensitive to what is going on in the world around us and in the lives of people around us. We need to know the pressures that people face. We must be sensitive to those so we know the best way to share Christ's love. Touch is critical because it forms a basis for much of what we believe. And in the gospel reading today, Thomas doubted until he could touch the wounds of the risen Christ. We've heard it said, seeing is believing, but in many ways, touching is believing. Either the way we touch others will help them believe what we say, or the way we touch others may convince them we aren't acting the way we think we should or they think we should. touch gave Thomas tangible proof of the ongoing love of Jesus, and so too, we Christians touch others, and that gives proof of the ongoing love of Jesus Christ active now within our world. And we know that human touch also comforts and nurtures. It's been proven that babies in critical condition do better when people in the hospital regularly touch them and hold them, and there's even programs for bringing volunteers in to do that in neonatal intensive care units. And we know it does feel better when we aren't feeling well to be hugged by someone. You know, as a kid, if I didn't feel well, the medicine tasted terrible, but I would take all the hugs my parents would give me. The touch of the body of Christ also brings comfort and healing. If you hold a sick child or touch an ailing adult, or you sit and talk to people who come to the soup kitchen that we support, if we say hello and look in the eyes of cashiers in our day-to-day businesses, our touch lets people know they are worth something to God. And the body of Christ is meant to be exactly this kind of vehicle for expressing love, touching people with the skin in effect and in the manner of Jesus Christ. And that should be no surprise to us, that is part of how we act as a body of Christ. Because think about how important touch was to how Jesus communicated and did his work. He touched the eyes of a blind man and sight returned. He touched the skin of a leper who was healed. He touched the legs of a cripple who proceeded to get up and walk. He touched the head of a sinner whose soul was healed. Now, no doubt, Jesus might have been able to do more if he had lined up all those crowds, divided them up by affliction, and presto, with the wave of his hand, cured whole groups at one time, but did so anonymously. But Jesus focused his ministry on people and not disease, not just disease, and he knew that warmth and touch were critical to conveying love. It's still true. We may not line people up and cure them all at once, but touch is so important. Writing about Mother Teresa, who's spent her efforts saving a few lives in comparison to the overwhelming disease and poverty in the area of India where she was, Malcolm Muggeridge said that it's clear that Christianity is not simply a statistical view of life. Because touch is not meant for remote statistics. Our skin responds personally to the humanity of the people we touch. And we will miss all the richness and response and life if all service to others and all caring for others is done remotely. That's why church people go on things like mission trips, why members come to the sandwich nights here at the church when we have them, and more volunteer elsewhere, because we feel more fulfilled when we touch others, when we feel their response and know that our touch is making a difference. It's part of fulfilling our calling to put on the skin, the appearance, the nature, and texture of Jesus Christ as we serve as Christ's body. In the book of Hebrews, the author sums up the idea that Jesus was God's great touch for all people. In Hebrews 4, we read that in Jesus, we follow one who was touched by our weakness and suffering. We have a God who not only touches us, but shares our feelings. Paul wrote, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was God's great way to touch us and to be touched by human life. More about skin. It's a barrier around our bodies. It provides waterproofing in effect, keeping moisture and freshness in. Skin is a Ziploc bag of our Creator's design. And it's also a first defense against bacteria. Skin absorbs some pressures and blows and springs back. By doing so, it spreads and shares impacts that might otherwise cut or injure us far more. And in response to heavy use or challenges, skin will toughen into protective calluses. And if you doubt that, check the Scott's fingertips or the fingertips of anyone who plays the guitar regularly. They develop calluses and it helps them do their work. Skin, therefore, in one sense, becomes one of the most sacrificial organs of our body. It'll toughen up as needed, it will absorb blows, and daily thousands of skin cells fly off to be replaced by healthy cells. And it's estimated that almost 90% of household dust is dead skin cells. Skin reminds us that there is a sacrificial side to faithfulness. There are blows that we take in response to our faithfulness. There are challenges to our belief that hit us. And as the church's skin, as the skin on the body of Christ, we do our best to absorb those, to spring back. We feel the friction of life, and when need be, the church can be tough. And like human skin, the church renews its skin cells, although we call it rotating people through tasks or bringing up new people or adding volunteers or giving officers a rest after a term of service. We step up to help when another person needs renewal and we allow people to regenerate. God even enacted a regular break time, the Sabbath, and it is a model of turning to God for worship, for healing, renewal, and it works. After college, I worked for a couple of years before deciding to go on to seminary, and I was at the Dayton, Ohio Ombudsman's office. 5 days a week, I listened to complaints, dealt with unresponsive government agencies, unresponsive care agencies, and dealt with the few people who kept calling because they were trying to take advantage of the system. I thought it was a place that I could start trying to save the world. And on the side, I went to church, but I soon found that it was the weekly worship and the immersion in the presence of God, that it was being touched by those who were the skin of Christ, that gave me the energy and vision to keep up the work. The touch of the Sabbath is a renewing touch for the skin of the body of Christ. There are also in the body of Christ those willing to live at a touch point of friction, just like Scott's fingertips, although they chose it, the fingertips didn't. But over the years, starting in seminary, I've had opportunity to meet those who particularly have been in urban ministry, starting in Chicago and then in other cities. And urban ministry in a church can be very hard amidst the poverty, crime, racism, homelessness, and more. Yet these people, when they gathered together, when they shared in worship, glowed with their faith in Christ, that managed to keep them tough enough to make it through and tender enough to still love all God's children. And I envied that combination of toughness and tenderness because they were calloused enough to hang in there, tender enough to touch others still with feeling. Just like our human skin, spreads out and shares the blows that threaten the body, so the body of Christ can share the strain of mission. If we cannot be there to touch in person, we can send prayers, we can support the mission work of others, because prayers and giving are like the capillaries that carry blood and nutrition through our human skin. We are those who are to put on the skin, the spiritual appearance of Jesus Christ, and touch with the texture of his love. We show his presence to the world. We touch and love in Jesus' name. I am, as a Christian, saved by grace, and it is that identity that reframes and redefines words then, like justice, truth, evil, responsibility, honor, difference, inclusion, and most of all, love. This is our true skin. May we wear it gladly. Amen.